Galatians chapter 4 tonight. Last week we talked a little bit about Ishmael and Isaac, and we talked about victory in Jesus. We talked about how Paul paints Ishmael as the persecutor. It says that he that was born after the flesh, Galatians 4:29, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. And he says, even so it is now. We talked about that at length, and said we talked this week about, study a little bit about Ishmael as the imposter. Come to Galatians 2, Galatians chapter 2. And when I say imposter, here's what I mean is this. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live. In other words, you had a life, now you got a different life. Which I now live in the flesh, that is still in your human body. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So when you come to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, there's two people in that passage inside one person. There's two people identified, associated with one person. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so when we are going to study a little bit more about this relationship of Ishmael to Isaac and Ishmael and Isaac to Abraham, picture of the father. We pointed out last time they had different mothers. We'll talk about that again a little bit tonight to show the difference between you being born again and just being born into this world. But this week we'll talk about him because he is not alive as far as God's concerned, and he doesn't have any rights as far as God's concerned. So Ishmael is a great picture, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, of the flesh, and Isaac is a picture of the one born after the Spirit. Now, keep your marker in there in Galatians chapter 2 and come over to Genesis 16 in these passages that we started in last week. We're going to look at two or three or four thoughts here, and we want to just learn some things by observing what we can learn from the lives of Ishmael and Isaac and Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. Genesis chapter 16. Now, Ishmael pictures the flesh, okay? So that would mean that each of us has Ishmael nature, Ishmael in us. We point out last time that Ishmael and Isaac, they had the same daddy. But what did they have different? They had different mothers. One was an Egyptian. The other was the princess, chosen of God. And God made it possible for her to have that chosen son. Okay? So, you and I can see a picture in here of ourselves. Look at Genesis 16. We'll start in verse 1. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And she said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Mark the phrase to follow. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Okay? So Ishmael is the result of Abram doing what? Hearkening. Now, your Bible is an amazing book, your King James Bible. Come to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. There's a great picture for us here. There's some great things in your Bible to help you understand what's going on in the life of a Christian, how a Christian has to try to live their life. Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 15, he says, I'll put enmity. Verse 16, he talks to the woman. Now, I'll pick it up in verse 17. Amazing thing, your Bible. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast what? Hearkened. So get this. The human race in the condition it's in, okay, comes from who? Who's the mother of all living? Eve. And the human race is the result of Adam hearkening to her against God's will, probably against his own better judgment, right? And Ishmael is a great picture of the Adam nature in us, the fallen nature. Because Ishmael comes into this world because Abram, he knew not to. He had better thoughts about it, but he finally did what? He hearkened. And God says that hearkening in those situations, you can go through your Bible, it gets you in a lot of trouble. The amazing thing is, just human nature is so structured that later Sarai goes, hey, look what you did, Abram. He's like, whoa, this was your idea. Oh, you didn't have to listen to me. And sometimes it's in a woman's nature to do that. You didn't have to listen to me. You could have stood strong. Even though I did tell you, you didn't love me because you weren't listening. You ladies need to laugh here a little bit. This is Bible. But I'm saying, learn this. And the first lesson is Ishmael is a result of a man hearkening to his wife. And woe to us, because that's a picture of us. We are the result of a man, the first man, hearkening to his wife when he shouldn't have. So our nature, our born nature, what we came into this world with, is an Ishmael nature, and it has a long series all the way back to the beginning of the fact that our old nature is a result of Adam hearkening. Now, why is that so important over here in Genesis? Look at chapter 16. And with this still same thought, understand then that means now we're born with a certain kind of nature. Look at chapter 16, verse 12. He will be a what? A wild man. So when you just think about the Bible, some of the things we've even preached recently that fit into this, I didn't anticipate it would, but it does. He says man is born like a wild ass's colt. He said he came to find grapes and he found what? Wild grapes. And then he tells us in Romans 11 that we are a wild olive tree grafted in. So you see, we're not, when Adam began to bear children, Adam and Eve began to bear children, and take Cain aside, because 1 John says he was of that wicked one, but even Abel and Seth were born with a wild nature. Haven't you ever noticed that children are born with a wild nature? And if you don't tame it, you got a wild person. It's not just boys either. Amen. Amen. That's how we're born. And it's wild. It's foreign to God. The only hope was what Abel did from the beginning, is shed that lamb's blood. And Seth shed the lamb's blood. And for thousands of years, for 4,000 years, they shed blood. And then Jesus Christ came and he had to pay that debt. But something had to happen. Ishmael couldn't inherit because Ishmael was a wild man. Leave a marker there in Genesis 16, but get hold of this. Is why some of the Bible, listen, this is why the Bible says certain things about us in general. It's not just about other people, it's about us. Look at James. Come to the book of James with me. Book of James. So our old nature is pictured in here. Now, Ishmael is constantly at work. Look at James 4, for example. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Circle that word, to envy. That word shows up again in Galatians 5 as one of the works of the flesh. So there's something in us. Okay? Look at verse 6. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So there is an Ishmael in everybody. Every conflict on the face of the earth comes from Ishmael. Okay? Every conflict from within comes from Ishmael. Look back one chapter. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. I want you to pick up on something here. But if you have bitter envy and strife, where? Mark the three words. In your hearts. Do you know that if you've got something in your heart Even though you don't say a word, that's Ishmael at work in your heart. You know, some people think it's not the flesh at work if they don't say anything. God says, no, that's not true. He said, if you have it, where? In your heart. Look, glory not. Glory not over what? Glory not over your silence. He says, deal with what's in your heart. You know what Absalom did? That thing was in his heart forever against Amnon. And it says he didn't say a word to him. Didn't say a word to him. He used the silent treatment. But it was in his heart. What was? Look at it. That bitter envy and strife. What did it end up doing? He ended up killing him. Then he ends up going after his daddy. Look at verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but what? It's earthly, sensual, devilish. So it's what? It's Ishmael wisdom. Where envy and strife is. Envy is in your heart. Strife is in your heart. When that Ishmael nature is work, and someone says, what's going on? Oh, nothing. That's lying. That's lying. That is not spirituality. That's lying. Friendship with the world. Now, Ishmael had his own culture. Come back to Genesis 16. Ishmael had his own culture, and we can follow his culture all through the years. You can follow Ishmael's culture all through the years. You can follow his half-brothers all through the years from Keturah. The Bible says he sent them off to the east. We'll talk about that in a minute. So what do we learn from this is that Ishmael is the result, as we are the result of Adam hearkening to Eve, Ishmael is the result of Abram hearkening to Sarai. So you have in you, not just everybody else has, but in each of us is that Ishmael. Now secondly, watch this. Come back to Genesis. Okay? Look at Genesis 16, Genesis 17. Let's pick it up there. Genesis 17. Now, Ishmael is born. And look at the end of chapter 16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So he's what? He's 86. Okay? Look at the next time we find God talking to Abram. Abraham's 99 years old. 13 silent years. That's a special number in your Bible. Is it not good? Later on in this chapter, in verse 25, Ishmael is 13 when he's circumcised in his flesh. So there's 13 years there of silence Abraham has going because he hearkened to Sarai. But now Ishmael is coming up, and God is going to keep, the Lord is moving forward. He's going to change him from Abram to Abraham in verse 5 of chapter 17. He's going to confirm and renew his covenant with him. And he comes down to verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, watch this, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, which means contentious, but Sarah shall be her name. Okay, like princess and favored with God. I will bless her. I will give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Have you ever had somebody tell you something so ludicrous you just busted out laughing? You're like, yeah, when pigs fly. In Australia, they use that term all the time, when pigs fly. I don't know if it was a year or two ago or whatever. One day I come home and Lisa said, you got to see this. And I don't know if it was her dad, maybe a senator. But literally, a tornado hit a pig farm. And these guys are in this plane and helicopter stuff, and they're looking at the whole damage of everything around. And they keep zooming in on this thing, and pretty soon, there's just these big old hogs, man, going around in that funnel. And I said, well, there you go, when pigs fly. No, they weren't flying, they were being flown. So there's a little difference. But Abraham falls on his face and he laughs. He's like, yeah, right, whatever. Huh? Come on, have you ever read a verse in the Bible that was so difficult, you're just like, yeah, right, I'm going to fulfill that. Y'all need to nod your heads because I've done it, and I know you've done it. I know you've done it about others, of course. Yeah, because they can't fulfill it. Look at verse 17. You got to get this. Shall a child be born to him that's 100 years old and Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And I want you to mark verse 18. I want you to mark this prayer, this cry of Abraham's, and understand what's going on. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that what? Who? Look at it. Ishmael might live before God. Oh, that Ishmael might live before God. What's his prayer? Lord, use Ishmael. Make something out of Ishmael. Get Ishmael to have a relationship with you, Lord. There's one problem with that. Leave your marker there and go to Romans 8. There's just a real big giant problem with that. Okay? In this chapter, he told Abraham to take everybody in his household, servants, everybody, and circumcise them. And then he said, from now on, when someone's born, when they're 8 days old, verse 12, have them circumcised. Okay? In that passage, all his workers, all his men, including Ishmael, are circumcised. Does that mean anything? No, because he could not be a child of the covenant. Why? Because he wasn't the child of the covenant. He had all his guys do it. So did that make him special? No. And what's this? Oh, that Ishmael, look, might live before thee. He's saying, would you not make Ishmael the chosen one, the special one, the spiritual one? Look at Romans 8. Just to show you how the Lord puts this stuff together for us. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 7. Let's start in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Watch. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. But mark that next four words. Neither indeed can be. So Abraham's wish couldn't happen. He's putting all his hopes. Get this now. You got to get this because this is how we work. This is how we think. He's saying, God, couldn't you take Ishmael and make something out of him? He says, no. Ishmael was born out of disobedience. Ready? Wherefore is by one man's disobedience what? What happened? Sin entered the world. Wherefore is by Abram's disobedience, Ishmael entered the world. They both hearkened to their wives. They both weren't supposed to. By disobedience, that child entered the world. And so you and I have in us the child. We are born of disobedience. It says the Spirit that now worketh in Ephesians in the children of disobedience. So our Ishmael is just disobedient. And our Ishmael, listen, he cannot walk before God. He cannot have a relationship with God, period. But man, old Abram wants him to, doesn't he? He has a wish, but it can't be. You say, well, what has that got to do with anything? Get this. You cannot get spiritual life out of Ishmael. Can you get a form of religion? Yes, we'll look at this in a minute in Genesis 25. Now, let me tell you something. You need to mark this down. Some of you are parents, or some of us are parents. Some of you are going to be parents. You listen to me. I have seen this in the last 35 years a whole bunch of times, is I've noticed that nowadays parents want children who are moral and make a decent living and aren't any trouble, and it's to the point where, with or without salvation, that's what they want. And if they have no hang-up problems and they're not dysfunctional, it slips their mind to realize how important salvation is, because they think they turned out okay. And if you're not careful, you will do the same thing because of the world you live in. Because that's how Ishmael thinks. Ishmael says, as long as you can be effective, successful, and you're not just totally dysfunctional, well, great. God says, you're going to hell. You can't be spiritual, Ishmael. Let me tell you something. You and I cannot be spiritual. We are children of disobedience. The real you that you were born with is a disobedient Ishmael. Quit trying to want it. Now, you ready? I'm telling you, I know Christians. They're constantly trying. Here's what they want. They want Ishmael to be Isaac. Because then there's no more conflict. Plus, it feels good. If I could... What did he pray? Get this. I'm going to park here a minute. So you'll get this. He's praying, oh, that Ishmael might... He said, make Ishmael the one. Why? Number one, he's lacking what at this time? Faith. He can't even picture, Lord, I'm 100 years old, and I love my wife, but she's 90. And Lord, we got there's enough life left in me that we got this Ishmael kid, and Lord, he's 13 now, and I'm really getting used to that Egyptian look in him. Yeah. People are okay with your kids being successful in the world. But you can't live before God that way. Being successful doesn't make you spiritual. Supposing the gain is godliness. You understand this? We live in a time when parents are satisfied if the kids are just not a problem. So they can get a motorhome and put that sticker on the back that says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. Okay? And that's their business they want to, because they might as well, because Ecclesiastes says, who you know you're going to leave it to, they might be an idiot, a fool, and spend it in and blow it anyway. But my point is this, get hold of the picture he gives us here. Parents want good sons and daughters, with or without. And if you're not careful, you want to be okay in your natural disposition. You don't want to have to deal with Ishmael and Isaac. So you know what Christians do? And I tell you, I want to be patient with them, but I get a little frustrated with the Christians that act like, oh, it's just too much trouble. I'm just going to go be Ishmael. So sell Isaac out. The one that Jesus Christ bled and died for. Amen. Sell him out.
Amen.
Tell me that makes any sense, just because you don't want to deal with Ishmael. Amen. You're never going to clean up Ishmael. You're never going to make Ishmael okay. You're never going to have, listen to me, you're never going to be able to go on automatic pilot. Period. You ain't going to do it. That verse in James says that when you got that stuff in your heart, that's Ishmael. So I don't care if you trick everybody outside. When you got in there, you got to go, whoop, that's that. There you are, Ishmael, I got you. Now, here's the cool part. Look at Genesis 25. Have you ever noticed that the old nature can be religious? Have you ever noticed that a lot of this so-called, there's nothing new about it, by the way. They love calling it New Age. It's nothing new about it. This thing goes all the way back to right here. Look at Genesis 25 with me. Come on. Religion comes from these boys. Look at Genesis 25. Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived. Look, eastward unto the east. Ready? North, south, east, west. As you're standing, right? God moves what? East to west. He sends them eastward. What's eastward? All the eastern religions. You know what the big deal has been the last 50 years? Is Westerners embracing the eastern religions as if that's spiritual. No, it's carnal. They call it spiritual. They take carnality and they call it spiritual. Do you know some of the most depraved religious groups are in the Far East? I will not even go into it in mixed company. They are absolutely horrible in those temples. And they call them what? Spiritual. You got to get this. What the world calls spiritual is just Ishmael and his boy and his half-brother. They're just, and so someone says, oh, this ready, materialism just ain't working. Well, of course it ain't working. Japheth says, I'm all burnt out. I need Shem. So he heads over there, and what's he got? He's got Ishmael religion. Ishmael can be very religious. Ishmael can be a Buddhist, and Ishmael can be a Taoist, and Ishmael can do Hindu, and Ishmael can do anything you can think of, and his brothers, all of them can do it. But he can't be who? He can't be Isaac. So no matter how hard we want it to happen, come back to Genesis 17, and I want you to get the picture with me. Picture this with me. I never get tired of reading this. I'm like, Lord, thank you for your help. You see, if you're not careful, you're going to want to reach a stage where you don't have to walk in the Spirit. Where either nature will do. And you know that's what religion tries to do. Religion tries to set it up to where whatever nature's kicked in, it's going to be okay. Now you watch this. Watch this with me. Come on. If I wanted to get as many people together as possible, and I didn't want to have to deal with old new nature all the time, you know what I would do? I would use music that would appeal to either one. I would use music that had the right words, but a carnal beat, and a carnal sound, and a carnal feel. That way, both people would. If I wanted to be able to just build a group, and I said, well, I want Ishmael and Isaac to just, I don't want to have to deal with Ishmael and Isaac. You know what I'd do? I would use leadership principles that weren't straight from the Bible. I would find out what are the universal principles that will work with everybody. And then I'd leave my church and I'd move to Atlanta and I'd start me a business. Like John Maxwell did. That's what he did. Took the Bible out of his stuff. Listen, I've heard his tapes myself. Years and years ago. Used to listen to him. Years ago. He'd get up in front of his staff and he'd teach them stuff and he'd preach them out of the Bible. It's gone. You know what he's doing? He's using the Ishmael principles. What does everybody have? Everybody on the face of the earth has an Ishmael. The longer you spend listening to radio, TV, and stuff, who gets stronger? Ishmael. Everybody's got it. So you can see through the thing because they're going, they're just getting up and they're using Ishmael stuff. Well, everybody's got one. So if they throw in a few Isaac statements, Isaac's satisfied, but Ishmael's in charge. The Bible's amazing here. Now, let's look at a third thing then. Okay, now I mentioned to you that in chapter 17, well, I want to go what God does. This is so funny, guys, the Lord. Verse 19, God said, Sarai, thy wife, you do what you want. I can hear God's tone of voice here. I think it gets a little deeper. I really believe this, and it gets more intense. Abraham's on his face laughing. He says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And immediately he knew what that meant, Abram did. You know what it means? Laughter. He's saying, I will fix your wagon, Abraham. You laugh at me? You're going to call your boy, I'm going to call his name Laughter. And he reminds him of this when, in chapter 18 when Sarah laughs about it. He says, I want you to call his name Isaac. Now watch, I will establish, watch, my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. Verse 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and multiply. Do you see those two words? Have you ever seen those two words before? You've seen them in two other places before. Where are they? Noah and Adam. Isn't that amazing? The earth is multiplied and fruitful. It's filled with humans. It's the grace of God and the long-suffering of God that didn't wipe out Ishmael and Adam's race, or there'd be nobody here to get saved. Well, why does God let everybody live so they don't have to die? It's really simple. Why doesn't God wipe them out? Because he'd have to wipe me out. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because if you offend in one point, you're guilty of what? Oh. That's why he doesn't wipe them out. Well, yeah, but that guy's so bad. Oh, come on. Christ had to die. If you had one sin in your life, Christ had to die. And he had to shed all his blood, not that one drop stuff. And so notice here what he says. He said, I'll multiply, fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. Mark this. 12 princes shall he beget. That's what you call in your Bible an antitype. Now, who came first? First Adam or last Adam? First Adam. Who comes first? Ishmael or Isaac? Ishmael. So in 1 Corinthians 15, he lays it out for you so you'll understand that the natural life comes first, but the eternal life comes second. So you must be what? Born what? Again, see how great the Bible is? Verse 21, but my covenant. See, he says, as for Ishmael, I've heard thee, but my covenant. So now, has God not made it to rain on the just and the unjust? Right? Has God not blessed the human race? Are y'all listening? You probably take notes, which is great. I want you to get this, though. Watch this. One day somebody was given the wisdom to begin to work with penicillin. Okay? Did only Christians benefit from that? The whole world, huh? And then all through the years, God has given us stuff. And you need to understand this. Because it's supposed to be the goodness of God leading to repentance also. He's been really good to the human race. He's given us medicine. He's given us surgeries. He's given us supplements and wisdom and science. He's given us all. But he gave it to who? To the whole human race. People go, well, do you think every inventor was a Christian? I don't think that. Because God is so structured that He so loved who? The world. He loved Ishmael. Didn't Abraham care about Ishmael? It grieved him. Do you know that later when he has to send him away? This is great. Look at this. Chapter 21. Man, this thing's just full of stuff just through reading. We won't get near the... We'll just do the tip of this iceberg. But look at this. He makes a great feast, verse 8. Sarah sees them mocking, verse 9. She said, cast it out. And verse 11, the thing was very what? Grievous. Hold your place there and come to Genesis 6. Look at Genesis 6. I just believe you have in your hands, personally, I'll just be really, really honest with you. I believe you have a supernatural book in your hands. I believe your King James authorized version is supernatural. I believe the words were put in there. So when you read your Bible, don't think it strange if all of a sudden words start as just words. This is just through reading it. I didn't even have to. This is just, you read it and you go, oh yeah, I remember the Lord said this. Look over at chapter 6. We know what's happening here. The earth is filled with violence. Wickedness, verse 5, of man was great in the earth. Verse 6, it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth. And it what? It grieved Him at His heart. Abraham was grieved that he had to send Ishmael out. And God Almighty is grieved. He's grieved that He has to judge mankind. But He has to do what? He has to choose between Ishmael and Isaac. So this third thing is this. Is Ishmael must be cut off. He has to be. Look at Genesis 17 there. In these passages that we're in. Genesis 17. In one place He talks about casting him out. He says he's not going to be the heir. You've got to put him out of there. He said, I've heard thee in verse 20 of chapter 17, but He said, my covenant will I establish with Isaac. So He has to send him away. He has to. Look at chapter 16, verse 12 to remind yourself he'll be a wild man. Now watch. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. This thing is very significant about what we find in our Bible. In chapter 21, verse 21, it says of Ishmael, he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. So what does Ishmael keep reproducing every day? Ishmaelites. What does Adam keep reproducing every day? Adamites. So every time somebody's born into this world, another Ishmaelite is born. Right? But that Ishmaelite, by himself, on his own, no matter what he does, how religious he is, no matter what happens, he cannot live before God. Except ye be born again, you cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Got to have that Isaac, man. Isn't that amazing what your Bible can show you there? Now, why is it so important that this has to happen? Because you've got to come to a point in your life where you give up on yourself. Where you don't say, I can't believe I did that. Instead, what we got to say is, man, I'm so sorry I obeyed Ishmael. Lord, I'm sorry. I should not have obeyed Ishmael. I am not surprised that you did that, Ishmael. I love what Bob Jones Sr. said. He said, what one sinner has done, any other sinner could do under the right provocation. And you know that is absolutely true. And until you believe that about yourself instead of just everybody else, you're still wrestling and hanging on to Ishmael. At some point, you got to give up on yourself. Now, you don't give up on life. Why? Because, what did our verse say tonight? Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Who? Ishmael. I cast him out. I put him out. Nevertheless, what? I live. And the life that I, what? Now live. Here's what happened. Ishmael's going along, and God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you real life. And He gives him the child of promise the way God said. See, God didn't say do it by Hagar. He said, wait, and I'm going to do it by Sarah. Wait, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you said. Now, having said that, all these passages lead up to Genesis 22. Come there with me. Genesis 22. And if you would, grab Romans 12. Genesis 22 and Romans 12. You say, how do we get... Who's the imposter is Ishmael. Is he a son? Yes. Is he related to the Heavenly Father? Yes, in the sense that God made everybody. Okay? But he's of that mother who got the husband to hearken, just like Ishmael. And so now we are of Adam's fallen race. Wherefore, by one man sin entered in the world, and what? And so death passed upon all men. For that, what? Because it was passed on to us, we've all sinned. My sins prove I'm a sinner. My sins prove I'm an Ishmael. My Ishmael ways prove I'm an Ishmael. That little child proves they're born of Ishmael from early on, amen. You've got to tell them, get that out of your mouth. What are you doing? What are you sneaking around doing? I mean, you can take the littlest child and they can say no to you before they can even say no. And people go, oh, they don't really mean it. Oh, they mean it. You can bet your booties they mean it, brother. Genesis 22, though. You come to Genesis 22, and what do you think of? You think of Abraham offering Isaac, right? Right? Isn't that not a type of the father giving the son? But who's one of the key characters in this chapter? It's Isaac. Abraham's 100 years old when he gives birth to him. So, don't you think Isaac could have whooped that old man if he wanted to? Isaac could have just said, I'm not going up the hill, Dad. So, what does Isaac picture for us? Isaac walks up the hill and he's a living what? How about that? By virtue of saying, God, do what you want with my body, Abraham, do what you want with me, Father, with my body, he fulfilled it. Come over to Romans chapter 12. Have you ever wondered what on earth, why is Romans 12 so important? Why does it come where it comes in Romans? It comes after chapter 7, where he said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me, O wretched man that I am. Why does it come after chapter 8? Why does it come after chapter 9 about Israel? Why does it come after chapter 10 about the gospel? Why does it come after chapter 11 about the fact that we're grafted in, we're put in, we got new life, we're grafted? We hit Romans 12, and what does he say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. When Isaac laid down on that altar and said, okay, if that's what you want, Father, he was a living sacrifice. He was about to lay down his life. And as far as God's concerned, he did. Because when Abraham pulled that knife back, he wasn't messing around. And that angel said, stop! God said, now I know that thou fearest me. The Father, that's important. Abraham's important. He's the friend of God. But Isaac's offering. Here's the deal. When Isaac is in charge, then the Father's in charge. When Isaac is submitted, when Isaac is in charge of my life, he will say, let the Father have his way. When Ishmael's in charge, he'll be a wild man with his archery equipment in his hand saying, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to have it my way. See, when we put the Lord in charge, do you know how Isaac put Jehovah in charge? Through his dad. God will always put people in your lives of submission. That's why so much of the roles of life, when you get into the epistles, he's constantly dealing. Every single thing he does is about a role. He talks about children, wives, husbands, servants. Children's, wives, husbands, that's a role you play. It's a relationship between somebody else. And he says, submit, subject, submit, honor, reverence. Why? Because only Isaac can do it. Ishmael can't. His hand will be against everybody. I know this as a preacher and a pastor watching people. It's not a lordship thing of leadership over you. It's that you can't have Isaac in charge if your Ishmael wants his way. And he wants his way all the time. Our physical obedience, our posture is all the test. Now, Romans 8. You know, wait, well, let's read the two verses. You know, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If it ever feels reasonable, who's talking? Ishmael. If it's ever grievous, his commandments are not grievous, 1 John, it's got to be Ishmael. Someone says, well, do you think God would ask that of me? Ishmael. Ishmael. I'm telling you. Well, don't you think that's a little bit hard, brother? Ishmael. Shut up, Ishmael. Here's why you can tell Ishmael, shut up. Now, have you noticed he's still there? He's still there. Ready? Watch this. Watch. Get this with me, okay? Then you can take your notes. Watch. Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac. Could he not have said, Abraham, get rid of Ishmael, kill him, offer him up, and I'll let you offer him? Right? But he didn't. He let Ishmael live. He let Isaac live. But what did he do? He gave Isaac a promise and a covenant, and he told Ishmael, go. Okay? Got to get that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live by in the flesh. I live by the faith that the Son of God loved me and died for me. Okay? Okay? Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Get this picture. We know we looked in verse 7. That's that Ishmael thing. But here is a key to get hold of. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Let me ask you this. Did Ishmael get anything other than an earthly time? No. Did Ishmael get anything other than an earthly experience promised to him? No. An immediate temporal narrow. But he told Isaac through his father that it'd be forever. Sands of the sea, dust of the earth, stars of the sky. Are you getting this? Ishmael can't get anything down here. Can only get anything down here. Ishmael can't lay up treasures in heaven. Ishmael can only have what's here. So in verse 12, Ishmael has no rights. Now ready? You say, why doesn't Ishmael honor that? Because he doesn't honor anything. He is without boundaries and law. Verse 7 tells you that of Romans 8. You got to get in your mind and say, okay, I know why the little guy's an imposter. He's pretending he has authority. Ready? He reminds you, well, don't you know I was here first? Yeah, I know. But you won't be here last, brother. Because I'm taking off out of here, and when I do, you're going to be left behind with the dust, with the dirt. Because God's going to transform us. He's going to give us a body like in His glorious body. He's going to fix us completely as if all we ever were children of Isaac. Amen. So you don't owe Him nothing. And that's why that verse says, have you ever had Ishmael say, come on, man, you owe it to me? You see, no, I'll tell you what I owe you. I owe you a punch in the nose. If I knew how to do it, I'd do it. You ever seen a thing where the guy takes the levers and the stuff and puts a boot on a stick, you know, where he can kick himself? Kick himself. That's what I feel like doing to myself sometimes. Like, man, you know what, Ishmael? I feel like whooping you. Only problem is I'd end up whooping the rest of me, too. I'm serious. Isaac, his offering, is what took and put everything together. It's what put the father in charge. He submitted to Abraham. Abraham was submitted to the father. And Isaac had an acceptable, that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's not as mysterious as the world or Ishmael wants it to be. It's simple. Ready? Present your body a living sacrifice. Have you ever noticed that we can resist in different ways than just running off in the world? And all you got to do is quit trying to clean up Ishmael and say, Ishmael, I'm sorry, bud, you're done. I will not keep trying to make you holy. I will not keep trying to get you to cooperate so that I can run automatic pilot. I'm just going to listen for you, and you are gone. You have no rights in here. Your inheritance is out there somewhere. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. It's temporary. Ready? Think about this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what does it do? It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal what? Way to glory. While we look not at the things which are, seen, but of the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Ishmael only gets to have what's here, and he only gets it then. He says, if you'll follow me, Isaac, if you'll present your body. Listen, when God has your body, when God has your posture, when God has your immediate obedience, when God has your response, he has all of you. Do you know that's why they don't train soldiers only in the classroom? That's why they get you out on the field and they say, on your face in the mud. That's why they say, double time, double time, double time. Why? Because you don't feel like doing it. And the guy who slows down, he gets his body reminded that he's supposed to be speeding up. It's not a weird thing, I promise you. It's not some radical thing from some other old generation like you, you old fogey Gilbert. It's not. It's Bible. He doesn't have you unless you will do with your body what you're being told to do. And if you do what he tells you to do with your body, your posture, your obedience, your reactions, I'm telling you, then Ishmael can't reign. But what did Ishmael do? Ishmael was a wild man. Ishmael was determined to have his way. Amen? And so we learn from this that he's just an imposter. You say, why is he still alive? Because, are you ready? You will be free of Ishmael when God does what to you? Either raptures you out, but before that, what will have to happen? He'll have to sever your soul and spirit from your body. And then you'll be free of Ishmael. To give in to Ishmael just because you say, oh, it's just not worth it, that's really foolish. Because you're still going to meet God, and he's going to say, why did you do that? Why did you give Ishmael your inheritance? He has no inheritance. He has no rights. Just tell him, shut up. And so God can help us with those things. Let's pray. Father, we pray you take these little lessons. Lord, I know that there are a variety of things, but I know that you told me to do this and that you would take them and apply them to the hearts of your children. Lord, it's a blessing to me to see how your book fits, but more than that, how life fits. It's a blessing to me to see how much you've given us to see through life here on earth, to see through ourselves. And Lord, the way we trick ourselves sometimes and the way we, Lord, deal with ourselves sometimes. And Lord, it's such a blessing to know we're saved, and such a blessing, Father God, to know that we are born again, that we are our new nature. And it's such a blessing to know that there's so many reasons why there's still struggle on earth, and it's because you're long-suffering. Father, in the week to come and the day and the months to come, I pray you'd use the gospel. You'd use our effort with visiting people, putting out the flyers, that, Lord, we might begin to win people to God. We might be able to help people who are saved but just floundering around, Lord, because they need some help understand what the Bible teaches about their new life in Jesus Christ. Lord, do that, we pray. We want you to. We crave you to. And, Lord, do a work in this town and start the work in us. Start the work in me, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.